Blog Talk Radio.
For a while, sit back and relax and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. It is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Sippy Talk. My name is Sippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Sippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And today I'm really excited and happy to present Ryan Murray to Tippy Talk. Ryan Murray is the founder and the senior marketing strategist for the five disciplines of marketing. And today we're going to talk to Ryan Murray and find out what is the five disciplines of marketing and how he can help your business. Ryan has worked directly with hundreds of small businesses regarding marketing, finance, and strategy. He also gives lots of presentations at places like national conferences, entrepreneurial summits, and grassroots meetings. He educates and entertains business owners from startup business to million-dollar companies. I personally love the fact that he puts together education and entertainment because they do go hand in hand and it just makes it so much more powerful. Ryan is the author of a book called Startup Marketing, Unconventional, Simple, Brilliant. I would say that it's a must read for anyone in small business who wants to start on the right foot and make the business a success. Ryan has an MBA in entrepreneurship and a bachelor's degree in finance, both of which were received at Westminster College in Salt Lake City. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan, and welcome to Tippy Talk. I'm so excited that you came here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Tippy. I am excited to be with you, and thank you for that warm introduction. It's really a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be part of your program. I'm excited for the opportunity and excited for the conversation we're going to be able to have today.
Well, thank you so much. So in reading that amazing resume that you have and a lot of things that you do, I don't know how you do all that because it's a lot to do. But one of the things that I have never heard of is an entrepreneurship MBA. What is that?
You know, so that's a great question, and here's the interesting thing that happened. So when I was trying to figure out what to do with myself when I grew up, you know, we all kind of hit that point where we're like, okay, mm-hmm. What do I want to be when I grow up? And, you know, little kids, they want to be astronauts and firefighters, and they kind of have this dream. And, well, I had this dream of I wanted to work with small businesses, but it was a little bit of a situation where why do you go to school to learn to start a business? Don't you just go out and start a business? Was sort of the old school traditional thinking. And at the time that I was going to school and I was studying finance, because I was told that finance is the language of business, and I'm like, okay, I want to learn as much as possible, and so I was studying finance at the time. Actually owned my own business at the time. I was running a catering company while I was going to school. And I finished with my bachelor's degree and thought to myself, okay, now what am I going to do? What's sort of the next step? Well, interestingly enough, at the college where I was, they had just launched an entrepreneurship program. And it was a master's levels entrepreneurship program. And I thought to myself, this is interesting. So I sat down with the director of the program and had an opportunity to talk to him a little bit, find out what his background was. He had successfully run and operated several businesses. And when we had this conversation, it just became apparent to me that this is really what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with small businesses, and I was really excited about this program. And I went through, and that's what I got my master's in, my MBA in, was in entrepreneurship. And as I was going through it, it was an excellent opportunity to just get hands-on of what businesses really face day to day. Most of the schooling was going through and working directly with these small businesses, and it was amazing. It was quite the eye opener, and I'll tell you, you got a lot of people that they watch a Shark Tank or these reality shows, and they kind of think that that's what entrepreneurship is all about, and unfortunately,
yeah.
It's not.
Right.
Like it's TV, and I like to joke around with people. I say, when you watch The Bachelor, do you think that's how dating and romance really works? And they just like, no. And I'm like, well, okay, Shark Tank's not how entrepreneurship works either. It's it's made for television. It's very entertaining, and I'm not saying that it's fake. I'm just saying it's not the norm. And so I had the opportunity to really get in and start working with these entrepreneurs, these day-to-day Main Street entrepreneurs who were really going out there and making it happen. And, it sparked that passion that I had ever since I was at a young age to want to work with small businesses. And it just kind of launched me into, getting in and, starting my own marketing company, starting the five disciplines of marketing and developing these training tools and it just moved forward. And here I am today.
So five disciplines of marketing is actually your company name, although it does include five disciplines of marketing.
So, the company is actually called Success Principles because we do believe that in order to be successful, you have to have a well-rounded approach. And you and I, we've spoken before, and we kind of talked about that and the importance of, being a holistic entrepreneur and not just isolating, one piece or another. The five disciplines of marketing is really our signature piece. It's our most popular tool. It's what we have put most of our R&D efforts into. And, we're a small team across the United States that has, we've vetted this program in different parts of the country to make sure that this isn't just, unique to one environment, but really that this is true for, for all small businesses. And so the five disciplines of marketing really is it's the tool that we specialize in, that we do the most in our business, but the business is Success Principles.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out if that's also a name of a company, because it would represent a lot. So that's really cool. But it sounds like the program that they created for an MBA in entrepreneurial, it sounds like they basically created it just for you, because if you're looking for a way to work with businesses and all of a sudden, boom, this program is created there. Did you struggle to find yourself, did you ever go through a point where you were struggling, what do you want to do, where do I want to go, and then you had a breakthrough because of that program, or you just kind of fell into it?
So I think that there were moments where I struggled, and it was an interesting time for me. So I was going to school. I knew where I wanted to be, but I didn't know how to get there. And mm-hmm. So I was trying to find this path, and it wasn't a well-worn path. It wasn't I look at it and I consider myself in a situation where, you know, one of the things that is often recommended for people in, you know, business or in life is they say, you know, find a mentor. And mm-hmm. I define mentor as someone who's been there, done that. And I kind of went down this path where I struggled to find, you know, people who had been there, done that. And so I shifted my focus and I said, you know, I'm not really finding the quote unquote mentor. So I started looking for what I would classify as coaches, you know, people who were more on the sidelines that said, okay, Ryan, this is, you know, this is what you need to do, or this is where you need to focus. And they maybe had taken a different path, or they maybe had, you know, gone a different route in life. But to me, that was great because I was exposed to all this experience. And so as I was going through this, you know, going through this process, and you said, you know, was there a moment, you know, I don't know that there was a, you know, a huge defining moment. I guess there was one point where I had tried to, you know, go down this route of entrepreneurship. And I had an opportunity where someone had actually headhunted me, and they had offered me a position, and it was a very nice position. And I, you know, I talked to my wife about it, and I said, hey, what do you think, hon? Why, you know, I've got this person. And honestly, I was flattered because I was headhunted. And mm-hmm. when they offered me this position, I went for it, and you know, I was getting ready to you know, to interview with them, and I had to go out of state to interview. And the day before, I actually called up the headhunter and I said, you know what, I don't think so. I'm not going to go down this path.
Wow, and I could not turn down a great job. That's hard to do.
And he was a little bit flabbergasted. He's like, what are you doing? And I said, you know, I kind of went to school and I got all this education because I want to work with small businesses, and what you do, it has nothing to do with small businesses, and that's not the path for me. And you know, and so I contacted my wife and I said, hey, how do you feel about the fact that I just turned down a great job and don't really have anything, you know, backed up to, you know, to fall back on of that caliber? And she was very supportive, and she said, you know what, if it feels right, do it. And so, you know, going down this path, I guess the most important thing was to realize that a lot of times for entrepreneurs, for small business owners, the path isn't clear. It's not, you know, it's not a paint by numbers. You don't have this, you know, clear way that, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, it's always going to work. And I think that was the first time that I was really exposed to that. And it gave me a lot of, you know, a lot of empathy towards these other small businesses to say, look, I get some of the pain because I felt some of the pain. And you know, and as I, you know, as I work with small businesses today, you know, I feel like I relate better because it's about making those decisions. You know, do you follow your heart, or do you just go after a quote unquote good job? And a lot of small business entrepreneurs, they follow their heart and they just go with what, you know, what their passion tells them to do. And it's not always the lucrative path in life.
Yeah, it's also scary. I wish more people could do that, because you touched on something really important. There is more to life than just bringing home a salary, and especially if it's a big one. And I think for you, having a supportive wife helped a lot, because if you knew you would come home and your wife would take the frying pan and knock you over the head, you might have made a different decision.
She probably wanted to.
Yeah, but it is a major decision. But again, if that's the job, you having a great job with a great salary and being miserable is really no way to live. But unfortunately, the majority of people do live that way. So what you do now is support other people and help them not to get stuck on a job that they don't like. You help them build their small business so they can succeed and make enough to support themselves.
I've done now, and basically, I mean, that was kind of a defining moment, was I had to make this decision whether I wanted to go after small business or whether I wanted to go into something else. And I'm not saying this is for everybody. You know, there's nothing wrong in, you know, going into, you know, whatever course of life is right for you. But I did. I had to make this decision that I wanted to, that I wanted to go into small business. And so I basically, from that moment forward, decided that, you know, I want to work with small businesses. So I do it from several levels. I work with small businesses. I've done, you know, both public sector and private sector consulting. I've owned my own small business. I get in there and I'm like, I wanna feel the energy of the small business sector. And so that was really kind of a time in my life where I said, okay, this is the path for me. And, you know, and every business and career decision that I've made, you know, from that time forward has been focusing on small business in some form or fashion.
So does it make a difference what kind of small business? Like, would Sippy Talk be in a category of small business?
You know, I think it would, and here's how I classify it. You know, you've got different the SBA. They have a definition of what they look at for small business, and you can get online and you can pull up, you know, different definitions, and most of them are fairly accurate. To me, it doesn't have so much to do with, you know, where your business is, number of employees, or, you know, size of revenue or size of assets or something like that. It kind of has more to do with whether you act like a small business or whether you don't act like a small business. You can really feel that vibe. And there are some really big companies that still act like small businesses, and there are really small companies that act like big corporations, you know. And so for me, I really like that, you know, that it's kind of an energy, a spirit, a mentality of acting like a small business. And it's a little bit more innovative. It's more scrappy. You might know the rules, but you're not afraid to break a few of the rules to make things happen. And you got to be creative. So I like that way of thinking. I like when people sort of challenge the status quo and really try and innovate. And I would also say, I would also say that you don't have to own a small business to be entrepreneurial. I think there are many people that, you know, they'll reform governments, they'll reform corporations, they'll reform organizations through their approach, through their energy, through their attitude. That, you know, you don't have to go out and you know, register your business as a small corporation or something like that to be entrepreneurial.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't understand that, but I do now. You're saying you don't necessarily have to be, quote, under the category of a small business. It's anything that you want to accomplish that you can put it within a format, and if you follow certain principles, you'll either succeed, or if you don't follow any supportive principles, you won't succeed. So basically, the word small business can be defined as just about anything.
It can. I take on a nice broad definition.
Right. And so before I go into the five principles, which I can't wait to talk about, you did mention something about a mentor versus a coach. And I know there's a fine line between that. So I'm wondering if you can define, if you can really tap into the difference between them, because then you would be able to tell us if what you consider yourself, do you consider yourself a mentor or a coach?
Oh, perfect. Let me add one more category to that.
Uh-huh.
I believe that there are three things that anyone who wants to be successful needs to have. And throughout my life and throughout my experience of working with hundreds of small businesses, and when I say working with hundreds of small businesses, I'm talking this is at an intimate level. This is going through their financial statements. This is sitting in their storefront reviewing their business. This isn't, you know, reading some random case study and then making a, you know, a judgment or analysis. This is literally knowing them on a first name basis. And going through with these hundreds of businesses, I've noticed that every single one of them that has any level of success that I would, you know, that I would aspire to, has managed to put three things in their life: mentors, coaches, and training. And so training is that third category that I want to just, you know, put in here to tie it all in. And I'll tell you, it's so critical to have these three pieces, mentors, coaches, and training, if you want to be successful. And let me define these, and I'm going to use my definition here. And you might have different terminology, but you'll understand the concepts really well. Mentors, I define mentors as people who have been there, done that. If I want to start a restaurant, my mentor is going to be someone who has owned a successful restaurant. They know the nuances, the subtle nuances of that specific market or industry. And so that to me is a mentor, someone who has already taken the path that I want to take, and they can show me the way down that path. And so I think it's absolutely critical that you find good mentors, people that that really can show you the way. And in my instance, I wasn't able to surround myself with live in-person mentors. I couldn't find anyone. And so I immersed myself in reading. And I would look for people who I admired. I might not have the opportunity to know them on a personal level, but I would read their works and I would study what they had done and I would mimic what they had done. You know, modeling, I think, is a very powerful tool. And so, you know, for some of your listeners out there who might be saying, you know, gee, I'm really struggling at trying to find someone who's taken the same path that I've taken, you can find other ways of doing that. There's a plethora of knowledge, you know, via the internet and libraries and all of this that we have at our fingertips. It's so amazing. And so that's what I would call mentor. They've been there, done that. A coach is someone who has expertise, but it's going to be from a different perspective. And so when you're working with a coach, this coach is going to be someone who they can look at what you're doing, but they're going to look at it from the sidelines. You know, if you picture in sports, the coach is not the person who's out on the field. The coach is the person who's on the sidelines. And they're looking at the game from a totally different perspective, and that's what enables them to be a good coach. They're not the one who's actually out there on the floor playing. And so I think in business that it's important to surround yourself with good coaches.
But they do have to know the game, even though they're not out there playing.
They have to know the game. Yeah. They do have to have a level of expertise. So some examples of coaches would be, you know, if you're in business – your accountant could be a good coach. Your attorney could be a good coach. You know, there are business advisors that can be good coaches. You can actually, I learned so much about business by studying psychology and human relations. Because, you know, business is just an extension of the relationships that we have. We're just exchanging money instead of exchanging time or companionship or whatever. And so,
right.
you know, so you can learn a lot from people who they're not in the same markets or industry, but they do have to have an expertise. You're absolutely right on that. And then training is where it's a set program that is going to take your skill set to another level. See, mentoring and coaching, it's kind of on the fly. It's sort of, you know, real time, looking at what's going on, trying to improve the business from that, you know, kind of boots on the ground level. Whereas training is a little bit more refined. It's a little bit more, here's a process that works. And you have to have that. If you do nothing but mentoring and coaching, you're kind of stuck at a certain level. You're going to plateau. You've got to throw in that training piece to really be able to peak it. So you asked me, you said, where do I see myself?
Right.
Well, we see ourselves as trainers and secondarily coaches. We don't really classify ourselves as mentors. That's not our role. That's not what we try and do. But we focus primarily on being trainers and then secondarily on being coaches.
So the training part of it, I understand what the word training means, and you define it as a set program that is going to take your skill set to another level. But that doesn't sound like training. Like if I was to define the word training, it would be to learn how to do a certain skill set, to train. You know, that's like more, I said. So when you say a set program, you mean set skills that specific, let's say one specific person wants to do and he has a set skill on how to do this, and basically the training is how to take that skill and improve on it? Or
yeah, let me take what you're saying and I agree with you, and I'll refine it a little bit to give you just these are my definitions here.
Right.
So when we're talking about training, I look at it and I say, you know, if I want to get good at something, if I want to get good, we've been talking the sports analogies, if I want to get good at basketball, and I've got my coach on the sidelines, and my coach, he's going to be, you know, refining my jump shot, and he's going to be, you know, teaching me how to run different plays, when to pass, you know, he's going to be determining which players need to be out on the court to, you know, make it make sense. But the training piece is, that's just learning the game. That's getting out there and, you know, understanding the rules, running the fundamentals, the basic things. And you can have, you know, coaching and training, they can kind of overlap. And I think that's where you're talking about it and you're saying, you know, training being a skill set. Like, yeah, there really is a skill set. And I guess this is where I kind of look at it, and I wish that more small business owners would realize the value of training, because so many small business owners, they start their business and they just get kind of caught up in the day to day. The expression that is, you know, used often is, you know, they spend all their time in their business, not on their business. And you know, when you're in your business, you're only getting one perspective. But, you know, stepping back and being able to work on your business, it gives you a whole new perspective. And so taking it to, you know, specifically to small businesses, I look at it and I say, look, you got to take some time out. You got to step away from your business. And you have to immerse yourself in something that's going to allow you to refine those fundamentals of your business, to, you know, not be, you know, that coach, I see that as the person who's, you know, right there, ground level, we're dealing with the day-to-day, you know, what's really going on. But the training in a business, I say, is when you step back and you look at it and you get a new perspective, because you're getting a different viewpoint of your business. And so it allows you to come in and kind of refine a few things. And so when I work with a lot of small businesses, I find that they too often just go through their routine. You know, they kind of get stuck in these ruts doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it creates this level of frustration because they're not able to, you know, to get their business to the next level. And I always ask this question. I say, well, how often do you step back? How much time do you take to just, you know, really, really look at it from a new perspective? Or are you so caught up in this rat race that you're just running and running and running and running and you never
stop? I'm totally laughing because you are totally describing my ex-husband. Hysterical.
He just ran and never stopped.
Yeah, and he's like hitting his head against the wall over and over again, but he constantly keeps doing the same thing. So, like, you know, unless you're going to be willing to talk to someone like you and get some training and get some help, you're going to be doing this for the next 20 years. You've been doing this for the last 20 years. And so, but he's not the only one. And you're right. A lot, if not the majority of business owners, they get so caught up in the business of what they're doing. And they may be very talented. Like, take my ex. He's a very talented electrician. He can practically build anything on this planet. He should be a millionaire, but he's always in the red because he's so caught up in, you can't see past that. So it is. So how do you get someone like that, which is the majority of your clients, to step out of the, to get their head out and say, wait a minute, let me let someone have a different, fresh approach? Like, maybe I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, it starts with the entrepreneur's mindset. And are they willing to do that? Are they willing? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. When you are a small business, one thing, you know, we talked a little bit earlier on in this, in this segment today, we talked about when you have, what's the difference between a small business or a corporation? And one of the big differences is the small business, the pace is a quicker pace. You know, when you're working in a large organization, they tend to, you know, move a little bit slower. But they've got so much momentum behind them that they can just sort of plow through any obstacles that come their way. Whereas a small business, they don't have that momentum, so they have to kind of creatively figure out how to get around these obstacles. So they're kind of dodging and weaving and, you know, constantly mm-hmm. moving. Well, when you're at that pace where you're dodging and weaving and trying to get around obstacles, but you got to keep, you know, you got to keep moving forward, and you're at that pace, and someone comes in and says, hey, why don't you take a couple days out of the office to come and listen to this program? Mm-hmm. And the first thing they want to say is, are you kidding me? Where in the world am I going to get – I'm behind already. How mm-hmm. in the world am I going to take more time out mm-hmm. to do this, you know, this training program? And, okay. you know – It takes someone who has the vision to realize that if you've been going at it the same route, some of these people, I mean, they've been at it for years, some clear
20,
decades.
30, 40 years? We're not talking about
uh-huh.
years, like five years, a lot of years.
A lot of years. And so my first comment would be to say, look, you've been at this for years, and it hasn't gotten you where you want to go. So have the faith, step back, trust that if you put the tools in place, things will get better. But if you just keep running, you know, you're on the treadmill right now, and that treadmill doesn't go anywhere. You got to get off the treadmill if you want to start moving forward. And so that's really what we try and help businesses to see, is we say, you gotta step back, and you gotta have that confidence, and you gotta trust that if you step back, the sky's not gonna fall. You'll still be okay. You know, not all of your customers are going to leave you because you were out of the office one day.
Yeah. Absolutely, because so your client, or the person that can benefit the most from your work is really the person that's already willing to do that. Your job is not to come in and convince them that they need to step away. It's somebody that's already said, you know, there's got to be a better way.
And that is so true. When we work with businesses, and I'll tell you, so, you know, we'll put a training on and we'll have, you know, we'll have a room full of, you know, of various business owners that have come to, you know, want to learn the five disciplines, and we run them through either our 1 day or our 2 day program. And I absolutely love it because by the time they're in that room, I've got the cream of the crop. I've got people who are serious about their business, who have vision, who have courage to step away and, you know, make the right long-term decisions. They don't think in the short term, they think in the long term. So these are great people. And I'll tell you, we're not about the masses. We're not trying to shove something down everyone's throat.
Right.
We're looking for, you know, if you want to make a difference, if you want to have some serious change, this is an excellent program for you. If you don't,
right,
that's fine. That's okay. You don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I honestly, I would love to give you my ex's phone number, not because I'm in touch with him or anything, but only because my daughter works for him and I feel sorry for her because she's so frustrated. But I don't know if your position is, I don't know that this is, that's why I asked you if it's a person that already is aware rather than you making them aware. But we'll talk about that another day. And so I want to talk about the five disciplines of marketing, because one of the things that people don't realize at all is that there aren't really even any disciplines of marketing. They just kind of think, well, I'll stick an ad in the paper and I'll tell as many people as possible because word to mouth is the best kind of business you can get. And my business is all about word to mouth, which might take 100 years to build up and it'll be a great business after you die. But that's what they do. So do you want to go over the five principles? Because I love it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the question. What is the five principles of marketing training program?
So let me share with your listeners a couple key things here. In marketing, there is a natural, logical flow of marketing. Another way to put that is to say there is a cause and effect. Now, this sounds really basic because it is. This is not complicated rocket science here. But for some reason, in our society, in our culture, I don't know what causes this, but the way that we go about marketing is exactly what you said. We kind of throw random darts and hope something sticks. And when you talk to people and you say, well, what's your marketing strategy? And they say, well, we decided to put more money into Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not a strategy. That's just, you know, you've increased a marketing budget. And that might be a good thing, but it might also be a bad thing. And so,
exactly,
you know, we say there is a logical flow to marketing, meaning that if I do A, I will get B. And if I do B, then C will follow on and on,
right,
and on. And so we went through and we studied all of these businesses. Now, I'll tell you, there's a difference between small business and big business in the way that you market. Now, the principles are the same, and the five disciplines of marketing will work just as well for a small business as they will for a big business. But we really want to hone in on those small businesses, because here's the big difference that I want to point out at this point. When you're a small business, you don't have a team of marketing experts that are focusing on the marketing, you know, and that's their full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to be doing marketing, finance, management, HR, legal, operate. I mean, you're wearing so many hats. And so when we look at the five disciplines of marketing and we say, you know what, This is not set up so that you have to have a team of experts that are going to specialize in your marketing. This is set up so that you can manage this while managing your business. And we looked at it and we said, you know what? There are five key principles that are present in every single successful marketing strategy we've ever analyzed. And in every marketing strategy we've analyzed that has fallen apart, you know, come unwound, they've always been missing one or more of these principles. And so we said, what are these principles? This is really fascinating. How is it that, you know, that we're seeing this correlation, this strong correlation? And we started looking at it and we said, you know what? We're going to call these disciplines because in this, there's a little bit of work, there's a little bit of effort that the business owner needs to put forth. But if they have the right order, if they have the recipe for success, it works every single time. And so that's exactly what we did, is we created this recipe for success. We said, you know, it's like chocolate chip cookies. If I told you right now, go make some chocolate chip cookies, you'd be like, well, I know that there's flour that goes into it. I know there's sugar that goes into it. They probably need some chocolate chips. But if you were just guessing, your cookies would be nasty. You know, they'd turn out all gobbledygook and you wouldn't like them. Does that mean you're a bad cook? No, it just means you didn't have the recipe.
Right.
And so we said, okay, we've got the five ingredients. Now we need to put it into the recipe. And that's actually probably even more important than, you know, just looking at the ingredients, is to say, well, what's the correct amounts? What's the correct order that I need to do? And if you follow the recipe, just like with chocolate chip cookies, if I follow a recipe, I'm going to have great cookies that are going to turn out every single time, and I can give them to all my friends at Christmas time. If I want to have great marketing, then I just need to follow the recipe. So let me give you a quick rundown of what the five are, so we're not leaving anyone hanging. If you're listening in on this know, on this program, you know, I don't want to get to the end and you're just like, so what were they? Okay. So discipline number one is the opportunity. And really short and simple, I am surprised at how many businesses start their business not really understanding whether there's an opportunity for their business or not. And you get these people that, you know, the classic example. I love to cook. I make an amazing hamburger, so I open up a burger joint. Well, that's not how it works. That's how we think. We think that because I love to cook that I'm going to be successful at a restaurant. No.
Right.
It's how many people out there are asking for a hamburger? Do you happen to know how to cook? So, you know, we usually do the opportunity backwards. And that's where we focus on discipline one, is we say, okay, we're going to teach you the correct approach for understanding whether people want what you sell before you go out and sell it. And so that's discipline one of the five disciplines of marketing. Discipline two is where we get focused. And we call it your moneymaker. And we say you've got to get focused on your moneymaker. And that's the single product or service that's really going to move sales the most. And it's amazing how many people aren't focused in their marketing. You know, when I ask you, okay, what's your marketing strategy? Well, you know, we're going to dump some extra money into, you know, Facebook. Okay, but what are you trying to accomplish? I don't know. Just trying to grow my business. Well, that's not focused. And so discipline two is all about getting focused, and we call that your moneymaker. Discipline three is a powerful tool. It's a simple tool, but it's a very powerful tool. It's called the marketing triangle. And it's understanding the relationship between price, quality, and differentiation. And
what?
It helps you price what you charge for your goods and services,
right.
The level of quality that you offer,
price,
and
quality.
How different or unique you're trying to be.
Oh, okay.
And there's a specific relationship between price, quality, and differentiation. And if you don't understand the relationship, you won't understand how subtle changes in your business can have huge impacts on your marketing. And so we make sure that people understand where to position themselves in the market based on that relationship of price, quality, and differentiation. So that's discipline three. Discipline four is the pie. And we call it the pie because we're trying to understand, all right, are you eating more pie or is more pie getting eaten from you? And so it's this wonderful analogy.
Wait, are you eating more pie or is the pie eating you?
No, are people eating your pie?
Are you eating more pie or are
eating a bigger slice of pie or are other people eating your slice of pie?
Oh, okay.
And so we talk about, you know, and this is where we get into making sure that you've got your best customer, and we use best existing customer theory, and we get into the pie and the relationship that that has on your target market, and then understanding the marketing mistakes that a lot of people make. So it's really, really a fun discipline. And then discipline 5 is your marketing message. And that's where you take the first 4 disciplines and you got to put it together into this correct message. Now, a lot of times people think that message is how you advertise. Well, that's part of your message, but there's so much more to your message than just advertisement. I mean, it could get into customer service. It can get into, you know, your online presence. It can get into your storefront presence. It can get into, you know, even hours of operation. All of this adds to your marketing message. Mm-hmm. And so that really kind of just ties it all up and sums it all up. And then we go back to the beginning and we say, all right, wash, rinse, repeat. That's how marketing works.
That's really, really powerful. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this statistic, but since you mentioned restaurants, 95% of people that open restaurants, they go out of business within a year. Maybe they last 2 years if they happen to have a lot of money that they can throw out. And there are actually people that make money out of this phenomena. Like somebody wants to open a restaurant, they'll go out and sell them restaurant equipment at top prices. And they know that within a year, they're going to buy it back at a fraction of the cost and turn around and sell it to somebody else who wants to open up a restaurant, and they know they're going to go out of business because of that statistic.
I know.
Like you said, they open the restaurants because they enjoy cooking and they cook good food. Well, if that's where it ends, and they don't have you, and unfortunately not everybody does, they're kind of in trouble.
And that's why it's so important. When people think about marketing, well, honestly, a lot of businesses don't think about marketing as much as they should. But when people think about marketing, they kind of have – there have been some skewed perceptions about what marketing really is. And we look at marketing and we say, look, what is driving your sales? It's your marketing that's driving your sales. And so there's so much more than just advertisement. There's so much more than just social media. There's, you know, there's all of these pieces that need to come together in order for you to have a marketing strategy. And at first glance, it's so overwhelming because you're like, oh, my goodness, how am I supposed to manage, you know, my location and hours of operation and employees and all of these things? And it just feels overwhelming. And we say, hold off. I only need you to focus on 5 things. And just focus on these simple 5 things. And honestly, you're probably already doing 2 or 3 of them right to begin with. So you've only got 1 or 2 left that you really need to focus on. And it's amazing what we can do when we get in with a business and we say, okay, let's show you where you're weak in your marketing strategy. And they're like, I had no idea. And we take and we say, you know what, this is where you're weak in your marketing strategy. This is where you need to be. I had a business. They sat in on one of our presentations, and we were actually talking about discipline 4, which is the pie, and, you know, I was explaining some marketing principles to them, and one of the principles that I explained was that if you're trying to grow sales, you need to look at all ways to expand your business. Not just limiting it to what you're currently doing, but you need to look at all options to expand your business. And this business owner that was sitting in this training, he thought about it and he realized, he said, you know, I've been putting all of my efforts into my store when really my store is running great. And so he went out and he opened a second location. And that one took off and did great as well, because for him, marketing was not increasing his advertisement. Marketing was expanding his reach. And as soon as he understood that, boom, he took off, because he already had everything else in place. And he didn't need, you know, he didn't need all these small little things. He needed to identify the one piece he was missing. We gave him the piece that he was missing. He expanded, and he's doing great. And he now has two successful locations. And so, you know, it's exciting when you see stuff like that.
Oh, my God. It's so exciting when you see a success, something that happens. And I definitely want to hear a story of somebody besides this guy that you work with. But the bottom line of really what you're saying is that marketing, the entire concept of marketing, is really the number one most important thing in any business, even if it means just identifying the target market or knowing what part of the marketing part that you're missing. And you're also saying that it sounds overwhelming, but it's not. And the truth is that you really can't survive without it. Am I right?
Right, right. I mean, sales is what feeds the cash flow. Now, you got to have cash, but you got to feed it with sales. And so there's this relationship between sales and cash that keep a business going. And marketing is what keeps the sales going. And so you can't ignore it. You can't go without it. And you don't want to become that restaurant statistic. You want to get out there and really, you know, change your approach. Focus on those small little things that you're missing. Most of the businesses that we work with, it's not that they're making major problems. It's that they don't know what they don't know. And we just come in and we say, look, let's run you through, and we're going to take this from top to bottom, and let's just find the few ingredients that you're missing in your recipe. And once you add those ingredients, you've got a beautiful recipe. It wasn't that the whole thing was wrong. It wasn't that we had to throw out everything and start from scratch. We just needed to identify the couple key ingredients that you were leaving out, put them in, and boom, you're good to go.
Yeah, I love what you said. You don't know what you don't know. And that's really the hardest thing to know, because you don't know.
And that goes back to why we believe in training, because that's where you learn what you don't know.
Right, and also marketing, a lot of people think that marketing means sales, and that's really not true. And you just explained that marketing is so much more than just sales.
Yeah, sales is definitely important. It's a piece of marketing, but it's not. And honestly, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I do have a little bit of an issue that everyone glumps sales and marketing in the same bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
That's why I said it.
I don't think they are.
No.
You know, and I think they're both important. But if you can separate them, then you can understand the role of each.
Yeah, so I think, and the reason I would recommend for everyone to really take a look at what you do is because of one huge thing that I saw that you offer that I think makes it really a no-brainer to do your program. Because if you don't do it, you really have to be stupid. And it's because of the guarantee that you give, which I love. And I read that this is what it says here. It says, we guarantee all our training. If a student is not completely satisfied, that they will dramatically improve the marketing, simply return the training material for a no-question-asked full refund. There's no way that you can get anything better than that kind of guarantee. There's just no way.
Yeah, and honestly, we don't care what your rationale is. You don't have to justify something. You don't have to put something in writing. You just say, you know what? Didn't like it. You could not like it because the trainer was wearing a blue shirt and your favorite color is green, and we'll still give you a full refund. We can offer that guarantee because we know that the material changes businesses. I had, if I could share a brief little story. I was working.
That was my next question. So you must be psychic.
Well, you're asking these things, and I'm like, well, let me share a few stories that talk about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So about a month ago, I was doing a training, And in my training, I had the owner of a major franchise. And when I say owner of a major franchise, I should clarify. They owned a franchise that was within a major franchise network. So they weren't like the owner of the franchise system. They were the owner of a franchise store.
One franchise branch.
Yeah, one franchise store. And it's a nationwide franchise, does really well, very successful. And they went through my training program. And they said, they're like, I wish that corporate were here right now to hear exactly what you're talking about. And I thought to myself, well, number one, I appreciate the fact that you still came to the training, even though I know that your franchise system requires you to do other trainings, but you took the time out to, you know, come through our program. But number two, to have you say, I wish that our corporate were here to hear what you're talking about. Because this is what I'm struggling with. This is where we're having problems, and you've got the answers. And so it was really, really a powerful thing. And so when you talk about, you know, this guarantee that we offer, it's really that we know that this is great for small businesses. This is what small businesses need. And so we're happy to make that guarantee. We're happy to just put it out there and say, yeah, go ahead, you know. Try us. We'd love it.
Yeah, but it also shows your confidence level in your product. It's about helping people. It's about helping people get out of the real frustrating maze that they won't get out unless they find some way to get out. I don't want to say that you're the only person on this planet that can get them out of that maze, but maybe you are.
You know, we take a very unique approach. There are not too many people that will take a systematic approach to marketing. There are a million marketing gurus out there, and they're going to give you tips and tricks, techniques, you know, and many of them are great at what they do. I'm not trying to downplay any of them. I think that there are some people out there. I mean, I try and learn from many of the best that are out there. I try and refine my skill set all the time. But what I don't see very often is I don't see them take a systematic approach, meaning that, you know, we've boiled down marketing to that recipe. And we say, look, just follow the recipe. I'm not. There are no tricks up my sleeve. I'm not going to pull a rabbit out of my hat. I'm just going to give you the recipe, and then I'm going to show you the ingredients that you're missing, and then all you have to do is, you know, find the ingredients and fill them in. And so we do take a very, very unique approach, and it's worked. It's worked very well. We took several years. It was about 4 years of refining this process before we ever put it out there. And so,
right,
So
it's tested, and really the bottom line is it does sound overwhelming, but it's not. And the truth is that if you are struggling in any way, shape, or form, and even if you're not struggling, even if you're making a living, okay, so you work all day with your own business, which really you're self-employed, you're not even in the business, and you're surviving, it's great. But if you want to get out of that survival mode and go to the next level, you really have nothing to lose because you do have the guarantee. And also, to top it all off, I think it would also be fun because you do make it fun. You don't make it boring where you really have to try really hard to focus and listen because otherwise you'll fall asleep.
We have a lot of fun. I was doing this training. There was it's a health and wellness studio that had me come in and do this training, and they had several contractors, massage therapist, acupuncturist, yoga instructors, and they said, would you do this for our entire studio? And I said, you know, I'd be happy to. So went in and did it for the whole studio. And to keep it fun, like you were saying, we actually went up into what they call their anti-gravity room, which is where they have these yoga hammocks where you do yoga from the air. And our whole class, we were up there, you know, playing around in this room, and you know, it was definitely a unique experience for me. I'm just like, you know, this is the first time that I've done a business training where you've got people that are, you know, hanging upside down, just, you know, having a blast. And so, you know,
hanging upside down.
We enjoy
okay.
ourselves.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun, and we've been having so much fun that we are almost at the end of our time here together, and I didn't even realize it because I think I can go on and talk to you for a while, but we're going to get cut off. So before we let you go, why don't you give us some way to actually get in touch with you, and if somebody wants to get a hold of you, once we finish the show, what do they do?
So check out our website, www.5disciplines.com. And I would also like to say we've just released our new book, Startup Marketing. If you'd like a copy of that book, we are giving away a couple free copies to the listeners of your program. They can go to the website. If you click on the Contact Us and just in the comment section, tell us what you thought about this radio interview, and we'll take the best feedback and get you hooked up with your free copy of Startup Marketing. If you want to contact me directly, my email is ryan@5disciplines.com. I would love to hear from you, love to know what your struggles are. One of the things that we really like to do is we like to stay down to earth with the small businesses. I want to know what's really going on. So if you've got a challenge, if you've got something that you're struggling with that you'd love some input on, just reach out to me. I'd be happy to provide some information to you and just see if I can help you out, you know. So yeah, the website is 5disciplines.com. The email is ryan@5disciplines.com. You can check us out. You can see, some of the upcoming trainings that we have, some of the products and services that we offer, and feel free to reach out to me with any questions that you might have. I'm happy to just answer those and see if we can't, get you doing a little bit better on your marketing.
That sounds really great. I just want to clarify your email address, which is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, and I'm only saying that because I don't know how to spell Ryan. And 5disciplines.com is the number 5disciplines with an S at the end, .com. So now you have no excuse. You got the right email address. And that's how to contact Ryan directly. And so, Ryan, really, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us. I think this is not just informative and fun. I think this is something that can literally save somebody's life and business. And so thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for doing what you're doing. We really do appreciate it.
Well, and thank you to you for giving me this opportunity. It's people like you that help make it possible and provide great content so that people get this kind of information.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ryan. And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you, Ryan Murray. And thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. And today I've been chatting with Ryan Murray, who has so much to offer, so much more than we can discuss here in 1 hour. But I think you got the gist of what it can do, and you know where to go if you want more, which you should go, whether you think you need it or not, because how can you go wrong if you have a full guarantee? So go for it. Have a wonderful day. Have a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.
I know you're busy for lunch. Take Girl, you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart.